Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Today is a good day. Today is an amazing day because today is the day the Lord has made. Amen. And we have come to rejoice. Amen. God is so good. He's given us so many things to be thankful for, to give Him praise for, to rejoice about. And hallelujah. Some of the best are just take a look around because they're a reason to give God praise and to rejoice. Amen. So today is our last in our series, You Matter. I have a lot more to say about this topic, but I hope after, I think, 8 weeks now, you get one thing. You matter. You matter to God, and you matter to us, and you matter to one another. Amen? And so that was our hope. I'm hoping that in 2022 there will be You Matter Part 2 series, because like I said, I got a whole lot more to say on this topic, and even more than that, God has way more to say to us about that. I think we're, if we let Him, discovering every year more and more how much we matter to God. Amen? And it's a game changer when you realize that, when you realize you matter, because we all need to belong, we all need to be needed, amen? And God created us to hold your objects or your emails back, you know, doctrinal theologians, when I'm about to say that God has decided to need us. Okay, now that, oh, you can't say that. Well, I just did. Okay, now of course, God is all sufficient. God can do anything, but He has chosen to use us. Paul says, how will people hear the gospel unless we go, unless we share the gospel with them? This is how God has chosen primarily to spread the gospel, the good news, to advance His kingdom and grow His family. Okay? And so with that being said, recognize this. You matter to that. You matter to the advancement of the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen? You matter to determine when Jesus is coming back, because we know the gospel is going to go to the ends of the earth before Jesus returns. And there are still a lot of tribes, a lot of people groups that have not heard the gospel yet. I don't believe that it's when we get a TV or radio signal in every place of the earth that Jesus comes back. I believe it's when the gospel is preached and lived out. And this was one of the primary ways that Jesus said, people will know that you're my followers and that you're in my family by the love you have for one another. That was what Jesus said. And it's important. It matters. You matter to loving other brothers and sisters, because Jesus said that love for your brothers and sisters will actually be one of the greatest gospel testimonies and signs that I am who I am, that I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that I'm the head of the church, right? So, you matter. Today, I've entitled the message, The Church Matters. The church matters. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. That's where we'll begin. And as you're getting there, because it won't be up on the screen, this verse. Many of the verses will, but this one won't. You know, 18 months ago, 110 million people went to church in America every week. 110 million people. Now, to understand that number, more people attended church before COVID in 1 week than all of the professional football games, basketball games, hockey games, and tennis matches, and soccer stadium matches in America over the entire year. So you take every football, professional football game, and get the attendance of every stadium and every hockey game. You add them all up. And they don't equal the church assembling together on 1 week. Why? Why do we assemble? Because it matters. You know, when we started not assembling together, but trying to get together online 18 months ago, many in the church were like, there's going to be a new normal to church, and it's going to all change, and this is awesome. You have to embrace it and all of this. And I'm like, I don't think so. Because church history says something different. Church history says something different. Now, I'm grateful that 6 months before COVID, God told us to upgrade all of our digital streaming ability. 6 months before it came. Hallelujah. And I am grateful that we can connect with you. Those of you who are watching live are going to watch later this week. I am grateful for that. But it is not the same as assembling together. It never will be. If Jesus could save the world from heaven, he would have. But no, he came near. He lived amongst us. He touched us. God made us to connect. In a world where we have more technology to connect, we are the most unconnected. Why? Because we need face to face. I mean, throughout the letters, Paul is saying, oh, I pray. Oh, I wish. I can't wait to meet with you face to face. Man, it cost money. It was risky to get on a boat and sail to go meet with somebody. Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just send a letter? Because it mattered. That's why it mattered. How are we supposed to lay hands on the sick if we aren't in a place to be able to lay hands on them? How are we going to break bread together if we can't be in the same place? Okay? So here's the thing. I'm grateful for technology. I'm grateful for all the podcasts. Well, most of the podcasts. Some of them I'm not so grateful for, but all of those things are to supplement this. We don't live on supplements. We live on food. Our supplements supplement our food. In the same way, the assembled church. Listen, I flew long distances and have and will continue to around the world to share the gospel. In nations and countries where I don't speak their language. Why would I do that? Why wouldn't I just let somebody who understands the language do it? Because it matters, because God said, go into all the world. And guess what, church? When I go, guess what? You're going, because we're a part of the same body, yes. Bethel. Yes. It matters. It mattered that I snuck Bibles and training materials into China in 1999. And I risked jail or something when I went up to the guard who, you know, standing behind was a soldier with an AK-47. And they told me when I go up, just act normal. And I'm wondering, what's normal? Why? Because it mattered that they got Bibles. Our brothers and sisters, it mattered they got Bibles and training materials. It mattered. Again, I love technology. I'm grateful for it. But what we have found, 110 million people used to attend church before COVID. They assembled together. At the beginning of COVID, the numbers went up of the assembly. People got online together, and the numbers went up a couple of percentage. So maybe got to 115 million people assembled on a given week. And everyone, this is amazing. We're reaching more people. Really? I mean, I celebrated people being reached. I mean, we looked at our views. We were like in the thousands, right? I'm just like, yeah, man, we got thousands, crews. I mean, they're, yeah, who, I mean, you know, they're checking it out for a minute. I celebrate every good thing. I'll spin everything positive. I'm that guy. But what I knew in my heart of hearts was that nothing will replace the assembled church. It will not. And if this can supplement, hallelujah. But nothing will, because it's what God commanded us to assemble together, to come together. This is what we were created for. We were created for connections, to be together. I mean, we'll use all the different technologies to supplement that, but it will never replace the real full meal that we have available to us. Amen?
Amen.
So, there's my introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we all were immersed and mingled into one single body. No matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. In fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. So if the foot were to say, Since I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is forgetting that it's still a vital part of the body. And if the ear were to say, since I am not an eye, I'm not really part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still an important part of the body. Verse 17, think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear sounds? And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell different fragrances? But God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as He desires. A diversity is required. For if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many different parts and functions, but one body. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Jesus, for giving Jesus and Jesus giving your life so the Holy Spirit could live in me. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way of the word today. God's message. Touch hearts, bring revelation, bring understanding that would change us, that would grow us. Let everyone be encouraged and spurred to a higher level of faith which pleases God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. The Bible has many metaphors for the church. The first, and I think the best and most important, is the church is a family. The church is a family. It's God's family. It also says that the church is a temple and that we are all parts, the building that temple. Of course, Paul also says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? But the church is the temple of God, is that temple, and we are a part of that. Obviously, what I read, the church is a body. You know, it's a body. It also talks about the church is the bride, and then it talks about how the church is a garden, okay. And there are many other metaphors, but I want to add a metaphor. And I think Paul or Peter or James would have used this metaphor if this had existed when they were writing the Bible. okay? And so my ushers are going to help. They're going to pass out. Come on up, guys. They're going to pass out a basket, and inside you're going to find Legos. And I want you to don't think too hard. Just grab one. Don't think, well, this one doesn't represent me. Just take one, okay? It's not your favorite color or shape, but just grab one and hold it. And I'm gonna use this metaphor for a moment, which again, like I said, I think Paul or Peter or James, even Jesus may have picked up a Lego and used it as a metaphor to explain us to. And you know who invented Legos? Kurt Christensen. He was a carpenter from Denmark. And what's interesting, it says that he created Lego pieces. The purpose, the why for Lego pieces was to connect, to attach, to associate, to bond with other Lego pieces. The Lego was created to connect. At the top of the Lego was a peg to connect with the bottom of a Lego, right? The bottom was to connect together pieces of Lego to build something, to build amazing things. We are all like Legos, different shapes, different sizes, different colors. Some thinner, some thicker. But all Legos were created to connect with other Legos. God created us to connect. He made us that way. This is why when people aren't connected, they become unhealthy. This is why so many others things have come forth to belong to baseball teams, football teams, right? To chess clubs, reading clubs, and because everybody wants to belong, everybody wants to be a member of something. Do you know the term member was actually one that was, it's mentioned 100 times in the Bible. It wasn't a word that was used before Christians started really using it, that word, membership, and being a member. I mean, I've heard Christians, or those who call themselves Christians, say, well, you know, being a member of a church isn't that important. Are you kidding me? I mean, we, the Christian church, are the ones who made being a member something. Before there was American Express and all the, you know, the benefits that came from being a member, you know, member has its privileges, was the church saying, come belong, be a member of the body of Christ, be a member of God's family. It matters. The church matters. And you go, well, I am the church. Not really. Is the eye the body? You take this beautiful blue eye out of this beautiful face and you place it right here on this table. Is it a part of the body? Not when it's not in the body. It's now separate from the body. It's supposed to be in the body. But if you're not in the body, you're not in the body. You're not a part of the body. And you're kind of scary looking. You go, well, you know, being a member of a church doesn't make you a Christian. You're right. But if you're a Christian, you will be a member of a church. Or you're maybe a prodigal. At the very least, I'm just going to tell you the truth. You're not obedient. You cannot fulfill what the New Testament says apart from being in a body and a member of a body. We're not the only body. We might be the best looking body, okay, and have the most fun body, but we're not the only one. But church isn't a restaurant where you just come consume. There are dishes to do. There are bills to pay. There is a mission to fulfill. And God wants to do that with the body, His church. It's important. It matters. It matters. And so back to, you know, the stats, the assembled church. 18 months later, as they look at those that are online and those that are in person, you put those numbers together. Before COVID, it was 34%. According to Gallup, today, if you add those numbers together, online, in person, it is now 28%. 6% drop. Now you go, well, I mean, it's only 6%. Okay? If COVID was killing 6%, I mean, it's like 0.1% or less, and it's a big number, and it matters. All those lives matter. But it's like 7 million people less. Now, it's more than just attending. Like I said, just because you attend church doesn't make you really a part of the church. Doesn't mean you're a part of the family of God. First Peter says you must be born again. This is how we become a part of God's family. We are born again. But God places us. Just like when you were born, you were placed into a family. He places you into a family. The church is not a second thought. It is from the beginning of time, it was the church that Jesus purposed, that God the Father purposed to expand the kingdom of God. The church is, with 2.3 billion people who call themselves Christians in the earth. You know that? That makes China, America, and all of Europe combined. That's a lot of people. 104 million, 103 million still today assemble either online or in person today in America. What the heck is going on? How are we not having greater influence, greater impact? I think one of the reasons is because we're not really connected. We've become consumers in church. And really large churches have made it easier to do that, haven't they? I don't think large churches are less effective at reaching people. I mean, small churches stay small. They're not growing. But when we're not connected, we're not really connected together. We're not serving. We're not in life groups. We're not praying together. We're not connected. We can't build what God wants us to build. We can't be the embassies that represent heaven like He wants. That's what the church is to be, is like the embassy to go, this is what heaven looks like. This is what heaven looks like. But we have to connect. Another just illustration of a solo Lego piece. You ever find one of those in your house and step on it? Pains. It pains me. It pains the Lord to not be connected. All right, let me give you a couple of seven. Why the church is the most important group on the earth. why the church is the most important group on the earth. And if you are connected to it, you're part of the most important group on the earth. If you're not, he invites you to become a part of the most important group on the earth. Get connected. One, it's the church is God's family. It's God's family. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Then, even if I am delayed, you will know how to live in the family of God." The family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. The church is the family of God, and it is the foundation for truth. When the church stops being relevant, when the church stops building upon the truth, it loses its relevance. It's the foundation for truth. I mean, the world is redefining what family is today. Because we, the church, haven't been living family the way we're supposed to. We don't see the church that way. We see the church more like a restaurant. Or the urgent care or emergency room, which we have those in the church. We have those, but like when things are bad, I go to the church. 9/11, church attendance went up. You look for about a year and then it came down. Down further below where it was. COVID hit. Appear that church attendance went up for a couple few months, but now it's down below. We are the salt and the light as the family of God. It's the most important group, the church. Why? Because it's the family of God. It's God's family. And his family is the most important family. The church is the why he created the universe. You know, he created the universe for the church. For the church, he did. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose to be his very own through what Christ would do for us." Verse 5 says, the Passion says, "For it was always his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that the tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love that he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure." Ephesians says we were predestined. We as Americans so often, and we have to overcome this. We so often see the Bible as written just to us. Me, 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 individual, me. But that's not the Bible. The Bible is about us. It's about a community. It's about a family. Yes, is there a strength in America, individual responsibility? Absolutely. But when God blesses me, it's not about me. It's about him and those that I'm going to bless. And as long as I keep it about that, guess what? I keep getting blessed. But he predestined us, church, in him. Do you know predestination isn't about individual predestination? Isn't about I was predestined, me, 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 me. No, it was about the church is predestined, and all of those in the church are predestined for eternity with him. Now he calls all the world into the church, but not all will get in it. But when you talk about predestination and you go, well, then, you know, because then you have to answer the question, well, if some are predestined for heaven, are some predestined for hell? No. Predestination in the scriptures has to do with those in the church. Now you can go with your mind and go, well, what about the... It has to do with this journey about those that are in Christ have been predestined. When you are in Christ, you are predestined. Well, what about everybody else? I don't know about everybody else. All I know about is me in Christ and predestined for glory, predestined for greatness in Christ. God's purpose for hell was not for humanity. But those who do not want to get in the boat that's predestined for an eternity in heaven will find themselves there. But predestination is about being in Christ. So, number three. So that was number two. The why he created the universe was for the church, for those to be part of his family. Number three, the church is what Jesus died for. Do you know Jesus died for the church? He wishes for none to perish, all to come to know him. He loved the world so much that he came, but guess what? Those that get to experience that are those that decide to become a part of the church. For it says in Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He died so that he could give the church to himself like a bride in all her beauty. He died so that the church would be pure and without fault. Okay, let me say something about the church and maybe help you stop speaking negatively about the church. You go, man, I love Jesus, I just don't like the church. It would be like you coming up to me and going, Pastor Mike, you're amazing, but I really don't like your wife. Do you think you and I are going to have much of a relationship? Why do you think you can talk bad about Jesus' bride? Who are you to talk about Jesus' bride? And one, you're just talking bad about yourself if you are in the church. Now here's the deal. The church is a mess and full of broken, hurting people who are a mess. You know why? Because you're in the church. Because you're in it. And you're a part of that mess. And it's a beautiful mess that Jesus loves. And he wants to purify. And he wants to heal. And he wants to set free. Thus, why we have Victory Weekend next weekend, to get a little bit more free, a little bit more pure, a little bit more loved by Jesus. So sign up in the lobby today for Victory Weekend, because it will change your life. And we get to do that together. We get to pursue Jesus together. Because we're the church when we're connected. We're something else when we're not. But when we're connected, we're the church. We're the body. Number four, the church reveals God's wisdom. I'm running out of time. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. Number five, the church is the only group on earth that will last forever. Ephesians 3, 21 says, glory belong to God in his church and in Christ for all time and eternity. The church will last forever, eternity. And what you do in the church for Christ, for God, as the church, will echo for eternity. Everything else pass away. Number five, the church is the only group that, okay, I said that, will last forever. Number six, the church is the only group that Jesus said would win. Amen. Every other group loses. You might have some temporary wins, but every other group ultimately loses to the gates of hell. But the church will not be conquered by hell, by death. We win. So, you know, you always want to be a part of a winning team. Well, if you're in the church, you are a part of the winning team. Number seven, the church is the only group large enough to solve all of the world's problems. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "By his mighty power at work within us, God is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. His power in me?" No, his power in us, it says. It's his power working in us. See, his power can be in you, but if you disconnect, it's like taking a coal and sticking it outside of the other coals. It'll still burn, but very quickly gets cool. But it's amazing how when the coals are together, they burn hot for a very long time, producing something that smells so good and tastes so good. Come on, anybody hungry yet? Huh? Burning coals together. As I close, five very quick things that the church can help you with. The church will help you stay focused on God. From the very beginning, according to the book of Acts, the family of God met on the first day of the week. Not only then, but they recognized that Paul even said, hey, take an offering on the first day of the week for missions, right? On the first Sunday of the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. This was the day the early church, they met. They met on Saturday. They went in the synagogues, the Jewish believers as well. They met in the temple courts. You know, the temple courts were like a lot of football fields. Like, it's the largest area for large assemblies. And large assemblies of the early church would get together in the temple courts to have church, baby. Now, church is more than an event. We, the body, together are the church. And maybe, as Jesus says, when two or more are connected, that's my translation, in my name, there's a power and a presence to it. Isn't it interesting? It's not just, hey, whenever you get alone to meet with me, I'm present. No, he didn't say that. Is he there? Yes. But there's something about assembling together. Agreement, power is released. So it helps us stay focused on God. It will help us face life's problems. Hallelujah for the church that has helped me and my family. How many can say today that you're grateful for the church that's helped you face the problems in life? Number three, it will help us fortify our faith, grow our faith, make sure we remain in the faith. It will help us find our place to make a difference in the church and in the world. It will help us find a place to make a difference. And number five, it will help you fulfill your life's mission or your destiny. Understand, you will not, you cannot fulfill your destiny. And God has a destiny. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And when you are not connected into a body, into the church, you cannot fulfill your destiny. He's destined you as you are connected, planted in the church. I'm not saying you can't do good things outside of it. It just is not your destiny. Your destiny can only be fulfilled, connected to the body of Christ. And you go, but I've been hurt so badly by the body. I'm sorry. Please forgive us. But you can't allow another broken, selfish person that's still being sanctified in the body and maybe wasn't even really truly a part of the body. Maybe they were just one of those tares in there. It was terrifying you. I know I was butchered words there, but you got to forgive. And you got to stay connected. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil comes to disconnect you. And when you're disconnected, you're not living your destiny. You cannot fulfill your destiny. Now, let me close on this. The church, the body, the family of God can help you when you face life's problems. This week, we had one of our dearest, our staff members, one of most beloved in our church, Marty Rasmussen, our chief executive officer here at the church. Wednesday night, healing room night. He's at his house. He's having pain in his head, and all of a sudden he went unresponsive. Completely unresponsive. Shelly called the emergency room, then called Julie and I. Julie and I were on a date. Hallelujah. Your pastors are on dates. You should celebrate that. We get a phone call. Shelly shares that Marty's unresponsive. It appears he's had a stroke. He has not able to communicate whatsoever. We began to war in prayer immediately together because we're a family, because we are a body. The ambulance showed up. She attended to Marty and the paramedics. We immediately turned to our war team, our prayer team. We put a text out. We get hold of Melissa Maxwell, who's in charge of our prayer ministry. She gets all the requests and they go out, and we believe prayer matters. That's another message I can't wait to preach very soon. But prayer goes out. The prayer team gets it. We get all the staff praying. We're praying. We leave. We go to the ER. Shelly's outside because they won't let her in. He's unresponsive. They're trying everything. And we're standing with her. We're warring with her out in front of the hospital, declaring healing. I'm saying, come alive, Marty. You're not going to die because there's way too much. I need you to help me. I'm driving to the hospital as I'm praying in the spirit, and I'm going, God, Marty can't go. Like, I can't do this without him. I need him. Like, no, he's not going. He's not going to die. He's coming back, right? I go, I need him to do what you called us to do. And we war, we pray, and then as we're done praying, somebody comes out in the emergency room and looking for someone, and I recognize, I say, Shelly, I think they're looking for you. Go back, goes in. They take her back to Marty. Marty is alive. His brain is alert. He's talking. They release him the next day from the hospital, okay? They can't find out anything that's wrong, right? They don't know what happened. They did all kinds of tests. I mean, there's way more to the story. I'll let Marty tell you, but Marty's in Minnesota today. Like, I kind of was like, I don't know that you should be flying like a day after all this, but the doctor said they released him, and he had an non-refundable ticket. So he says, I'm going to be with my family. I'm like, all right, man of faith, go, right? But this is just another reason, and there's hundreds and hundreds of stories just like this one. Church, right behind this wall here, we have built a soundproof room called the War Room, where we built what appears to be the western wall, or the eastern wall of Jerusalem. I guess it would be western, that way's eastern, so it's the western wall in Jerusalem. And we believe here at Bethel in the power of prayer. And our vision is to have 24-hour prayer 7 days a week, where people are praying in that room, at least three people every hour. Because problems happen and prayer matters. If I hadn't gotten a good report, I had already made a decision. I was heading to the war room because they wouldn't let me in the hospital. I was heading to the war room to pray all night. Thank God he moved and I was able to have a good night's sleep. But that's how serious we are about prayer, and we believe it matters. And I want you to catch that vision. And here's the thing. We can't fulfill that vision of 24-hour prayer 7 days a week without the body, without us connecting together and say, I'll take an hour. I'll take an hour. I'll take an hour. Can you not tarry 1 hour? Give us 1 hour a week, just one, and commit to be in the prayer room. Because it matters. Because when things happen, Melissa gets a call, immediately that prayer request would go into the war room and it would be prayed for. Now, right now, when it happens, it goes to our team. Every prayer, when you get on that app or that our website and you call, we take those prayer requests. They're not just a thought, and they're not just, oh God, please answer that. No, we're warring. Yes. We are warring. Because the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and it's the violent that take it. Okay, this ain't no tennis match. This is a war for souls. This is a war for lives. This is a battle. Paul said, you're soldiers. Church, if we would connect and be the army of God, could you imagine 100 million believers connected in their church advancing the kingdom of God? It's hard to imagine, but you know what I can imagine? I can imagine 800 people at Bethel connected. I can imagine 1,000 people at Bethel connected. I can imagine 10 Bethels throughout the valley connected. And I have the audacity to believe that when we're connected like that, we're going to have high impact in our city, in our state, in our nation. If one can send 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. Thousands of us connected. I am not interested in a large church. You understand that? I mean, you should recognize that as I say so many potentially offensive things every week, okay? That if it wasn't for relationship and you going, I know Pastor Mike's heart. I'm not going to get offended at what he just said. I know he wants my best. See, that's how we live this out. And we don't take our ball and go home and get disconnected. Listen, I'm not trying. I don't attempt to get up here. I don't prepare notes and go, man, I can't wait to offend them with, 5 points today. We're not consumers. This isn't consumer Christianity. This is, we're part of a family. We're part of an army. But if you don't connect, you're just a consumer. That's not what he's called you to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that you've made us in such a way to connect to you and to connect with one another. If there's anyone here today and you don't feel connected to God, maybe because of sin, maybe for a trial in your life, but right now you want to connect with God, I want to pray with you. I want to stand with you. Maybe you don't feel connected to the church, but today you want to make a decision to connect, that you want to, that you want to belong, you want to connect. Whether you need to connect with God or the church or both, if that's you, would you lift up your hand right now? Because I want to pray for you right now, all over this place. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Church, pray this. We say, Jesus, I surrender my life, my heart, Forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come into my life. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. Now, Jesus, connect me to your church. Connect me to your family. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.